Yesterday, of course, we had the result of the ballot for leader, and you were up against David O'Byrne, and he won quite convincingly. You did say before that you were the underdog, but I guess you probably need to be congratulated for throwing your hat into the ring, because a contest is probably a bit better than just one not having a contest, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. I think, I'll never shy away from discussing the big issues, and I think that there are some big issues in the party that we need to be talking about, and that was a large part of the reason for standing. I think that the party's unbalanced, and we need to start working on that. Otherwise, there's no point being in opposition. We can't make the changes that we want to make in opposition. We need to be in government. So we need to be working on how to get elected at the next election.
The government would be saying, well, the opposition's divided, but you'd be aiming to work together with the new leader, of course.
Oh, absolutely. I've always been a team player. I'm looking forward to holding the government to account and getting on with it. I mean, it has been, a fairly strange 3 or 4 weeks, and that was another reason for running as well. It's just to highlight, how I think the rules are a bit silly in the way that the leader's elected, and it takes a long time, and we've got to streamline it. So, I was a bit of a crash test dummy, but I think that we need to work on a few things, including spelling out a bit better how the leader should be elected next time.
Yeah, if you'd won the election, we would still have to wait 2 or 3 weeks to find out who the new premier was, would we? If there was going to be
only applies if we lose an election.
Right.
So if we win an election, then the premier, the opposition leader becomes premier,
yes,
and we sail off into the sunset. Mm. But that's 4 years away at the moment.
at least.
That'd be a very good problem to have. But at the moment, no, we're 4 years away. And I think what I've said right from the start is we've just come through an election. Now's the time to have the tough discussions and, air the dirty laundry, and then rebuild for 4 years,
yeah,
rather than do it halfway through or indeed in the shadows of an election.
Yeah, well,
We can't have the first 2 weeks of the election campaign like we had this time around.
No, it was a bit of a train wreck. I think that's acknowledged now. Obviously, with Rebecca Watt stepping down as leader, David O'Byrne becoming leader, and a couple of new seats being taken, or new members into the Parliament for Labor, there'll be some sort of a shadow cabinet reshuffle, won't there?
Yeah, there will be. So you read out a list of my responsibilities, and I think that they will change, but we've got a pretty strong team. There will be a reshuffle. I'm keen to keep the portfolios that I've had. We'll see how it pans out. That'll all be announced tomorrow. I'd really like to keep the primary industries and the resources portfolios, especially. I think that they're the areas that really suit me. I think that I'd really like to be keep fighting for jobs and economic development in the state, and those are two areas where I could do that.
And your coastal colleague Anita Dowell, of course, has been acting leader in the meantime. She was elected unopposed as deputy leader, and it'd be fair to say she's done a pretty good job in the interim.
Yeah, she's certainly got thrown into it, and that's the other part of this whole leadership process, is that the deputy leader has to step up and do everything, because in effect you don't have a shadow cabinet, or shadow ministers. So Anita's had to do the whole thing. So I know that's been pretty tough. I imagine she spent a lot of time away from her family. So I think she'd be looking forward to some nights at home. But we've got 2 weeks in Parliament coming up next week and the week
exactly,
after.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's going to be it's a busy time now. That's for sure.
Okay. What sort of things can we expect on the agenda next week? I know that you're pretty keen to crunch some numbers with the government, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. There was the fiscal sustainability report was released. So Treasury, basically, the bean counters in Hobart have done the numbers, and stretching out to 2035, it's actually looking quite grim. I think we're getting to the stage now where the government can't really hide the fact that they've been spending more than they've been earning for a long time, not just through COVID, but for basically the 7 years that they've been in government. So getting to the point now where Treasury are saying things like, we have to change direction, and that early action will stave off the huge amounts of debt that we're looking at. So by 2035, there could be, depending on the scenario they're using, the state could be up for, you know, $20 to $30 billion in debt.
Yeah, I find it hard. I find it hard to understand how they can project 14 years into the future, because goodness knows how many government changes we could have in that time.
Yeah, but the trends are pretty bad. Like, we're spending more than we're earning. Health costs are spiralling. We've got an older population who tend to be sicker, so health costs are, you know, going to increase to the point where they're going to take up a great big chunk more of the budget than they are now. And unless the government actually steps up and makes some tough decisions instead of just you know, kicking the can down the road all the time, we're going to end up with a whole heap of debt, and we'll end up like we were back when the Liberals lost government to Jim Bacon, and we had to pay it all off. We can't, and the Treasury also says that we can't rely on economic growth to pull us out of it. So, you know, we've got to hold the government to account on that. They can't hide anymore. They have to actually explain how they're going to pay for things and not just kick the can down the road, because the debt is building up as we speak.
You get the opportunity to question the department heads and people like that during estimate sessions. When's the next estimate session is likely to be?
So we're coming back to Parliament for 2 weeks, and then, you know, we haven't been in Parliament for, you know, before the election, obviously, and then we're having a 5-week break, the winter break, and then we come back, and then it's budget. So the budget has been delayed. The budget normally happens in May, government pushed it out to August, which suited their nice election timetable well, but estimates won't happen until into August.
Okay. All right, well, you'll have to keep them on their toes in the meantime, but Shane, thanks for your time today, as always, appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
No worries. Thanks, Martin.